The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And with the third pick, I made the earth sick.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Third Pick Podcast, man. Episode 29, man. As usual, I'm your host, Scott. Got my guy, Mariano, here with me, man. You can follow me on Twitter, at BarbChestScott on Twitter and Instagram. Mariano, let them know they can follow you there, bro.
Yeah, we out here, man. You know what I'm saying? At Mariano on Twitter, two N's, two O's. I haven't decided if I was going to tell you, you know, your aunt, yes or no. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. You know what I mean?
It's been a long sports day, man.
Yeah, it's been it's a lot going on right now. I hit her back when I hit her back. You know what I'm saying?
But hit your aunt back when you hit her back, man.
It's just relay the message for me. Tell her I'm a little busy. I got it. You know what I'm saying? I got it.
It's been a long day here, man. We're recording this on March 10th, 2022. Man, been a long sports day. For anybody, I'm going to say what I said on the last pod. If you see me with the same t-shirt and hat on in three videos on Patreon today, just know I recorded three podcasts today.
It's hustler shit, bro. It's hustler shit. Yeah. Listen, when we came up, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, we're not advocating for
illegal activity
and things like that. We are law-abiding taxpaying citizens.
Yeah.
Let's make that clear. But we knew the hustlers, man. You had the same outfit on for 2-3 days. It is what it is,
bro. The content has been contending. I mean, it's baseball's back. That guy announced that kind of got the day started. Free agency is officially open. They expect to be one of the fastest free agency periods ever. My Bears traded Khalil Mack. If you want to know how I feel about that, 79th and House Merchant Pod is available now when you listen to this. And, yeah, man, also, Ben Simmons about to face the Philadelphia crowd in about 30 minutes, man.
He's been facing them niggas. You know, even before he stepped on the court, niggas dribbling the ball, walking in the arena and shit. They was out there, they was going crazy.
Bruh, it looked ridiculous. I didn't think anything was going to get worse than when LeBron went back to Cleveland. This might pass.
I told my nigga, listen, Philadelphia threw lighters and hot dogs and water at Jadakiss when he was performing at I want to say it was Powerhouse during like the height of the beef with Beanie Siegel.
Beanie Siegel, yeah.
Ben Simmons didn't freestyle over It Ain't Hard to Tell, so he's not off limits.
This is the fan base. This is fans who cheer when Michael Irvin had his career-ending injury. That tells you everything you know about Philadelphia fans. So there's a lot of stuff going on with that. Of course, the Bulls, man. There's a lot of stuff going on with that. We're gonna get into everything that's been going on. It's been a long ass 2 weeks for the Bulls.
Yes, it has. Oh,
but,
my God.
You went to the game for your birthday, man, against the Hawks. Yeah, the one that, you know, Trey got busy on them niggas, man. Tell us what your experience was. I remember you texting me like, man, on the next pod, I got birds for Bulls.
Yeah, man. So you know, shout out to my dog Ken. I gotta say that off the top, man. That's my homie. You know, and so he hit me up like the day of my birthday and was like, yo, if you're free tonight, the tickets is yours. You know what I'm saying? You know, went out there, you know, went up there with my fellow Detroit brethren, my nigga Marlon. Shout out to my nigga Marlon. So we was in there, we was chilling, you know, it's a great environment and shit. And then the game starts and the Bulls came out looking, you know, they came out looking good. It was a decent little back and forth game. I want to say we went up with like a handful of points, maybe 6-7 points. And I was like, okay, it's a decent little pace. Hawks started to make a little, I don't want to call it a comeback. It's first quarter, you know, it's whatever. The one thing that I noticed is that Zach LaVine plays basketball like how a cheetah hunts, bro. Like, if you ever look at, if you ever seen Zach LaVine play basketball in person, he has this real downhill approach to when
he got a motor, bro.
It's different and it's beautiful to see this man play basketball in person. I just want to say that right now. Like, it's incredible. And it made me think back on, like, all the people that were privileged enough to see like Michael Jordan play in person. Like, I can only imagine the type of fucking, you know what I mean? Like that atmosphere. But it was a great environment. I'll say that. It was a great environment. like I told y'all before, Trae Young got Hawks fans to care about the Hawks again, you know, and you can see that on full display. Every time he hit a shot, every time he did anything, you know, people up out their seats, they got the jerseys on. So it was good to be just surrounded by a good basketball environment. Of course, the Bulls lost the game because they couldn't fucking play defense on fucking Kevin. What's his name? Kevin Huerter? Herter? Yeah, bro. They had him out there looking like Klay Thompson. I'm sitting there watching the play develop, and I'm like, bro, is nobody going to go guard this nigga? And he's just hitting three after three. Of course, like, Trae Young is hitting every fucking shot. Like, he got to a point where he was just abusing I.O., man. Like, I felt bad for I.O., dog. Like, it was just apparent that he was calling for the ball.
Trae had to get his look back, man, because I.O. been fucking him up all
Yes, day. No, 1,000%. And the thing about the Hawks game, that Hawks game in particular, it was the last game we played in the season. We were already up 3-0 on them. It never feels good to lose the last game of the series. I don't care if you won the previous three. Yeah. It's like if you get off a good three-piece combo on a nigga and he hits you last, everybody going to see the last.
That's the last thing you remember.
The last thing you remember.
Niggas ain't show no highlights when we beat these niggas three times. Nope. But every time, when these niggas, I got to see Trae nutmegging I.O. 40 times on SportsCenter.
Bro, hitting corner threes. And we had like three chances to win that game. I watched it. I watched the momentum in the building. You can feel the momentum shift. You can feel the crowd just to be like, yeah, this one is
was
over.
Was it mainly Hall? How many percentage of Bulls fans was there?
Damn, you know what? I want to say it was a decent
Staples Center mix. Sounded like United Center West when I saw them against the Clippers this year.
It was a decent mix. I would say this time it was a decent mix. Now the times that I've went before, it was like 80-20 us. Damn, this time, okay. I want to say it was like maybe 55-45.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe something like that. Us, you know,
That's still a nice representation.
Absolutely is. But I came here to talk about Vooch. Man.
We've been giving him passes on this podcast all season,
We've been giving Vooch so many passes all season, dog, but there were so many times where I just looked up and I was like, he's lost out there, bro. Whether it's offense, defense, especially rebounding, he let the Hawks take him out of like almost every play in the second half. And it was disgusting to watch in person because I'm like, bro, they cannot. I was in there yelling, they not like that. Like, they're not like that, bro. They're not. Like, they're not like. And then we went up like 9 points, 10 points, or something like that. And I was like, bro, they not like that. I'm telling y'all, they not. And then, you know, they let the Hawks come down and hit some shots, get some momentum. We couldn't do shit. It reached a point where we just couldn't do shit, man. I will say this. That arena, what is it, the State Farm Arena? Listen, that pizza is top-notch. I'm going to give them their credit.
It's good? Okay.
Oh, my God, man. Listen, whoever listening to this pod, if you're ever down in Atlanta and you going to a Hawks game, get the pizza. Because that pizza was fucking, oh, my God.
Yeah. I really need to get back to Atlanta, man. It's been...
Yeah, come
it's
through.
Been almost a decade since I've been in Atlanta. That's not Atlanta. I was on the strip club world tour with Pat.
No, that
we almost paid some mortgages in that bitch, man. I came home, nigga. Granted, this was be 10 years next year, so I was gonna be 34 this year. So I was 24 when last time I went, right? So I'm gonna put this in perspective. I was 24 years old, freshly out of college, like a year out of college, and I spent almost every dollar I brought down there in the strip club.
Ooh,
yeah. That's why I fucking Waffle House, nigga. I bought like maybe like 8 sausage biscuits. That got me through that 12-hour ride from Atlanta back to Chicago.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yep. So that held me down.
Out the Waffle
like,
House.
Me and Pav went to we went to like Onyx. And it was like, oh my God, singles. Like, get 400 in singles.
That shit probably was going in 20 minutes, nigga.
Nigga, if that.
I was about to say. Because when
them,
the right one walks up,
all Onyx there are some good negotiators.
Lord
I will
have
say
mercy.
That much.
Yeah, no, they're so, very good at closing deals. I'm gonna tell you,
Atlanta right is the reason why I think strip clubs outside the South are trash.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like if you've ever been to strip clubs outside of the South, and maybe I'm biased because like I'm a Detroit nigga. Detroit strip clubs are pretty good. It's Detroit, so I'm gonna leave it at that.
Chicago strip clubs are terrible. I'm just letting y'all know. Yeah. Ever go to a Chicago strip club?
There's a couple. You have to. I'll put it like this: if you go to a Detroit strip club, it works better if you know somebody that knows the girls before you get there, and not just go in there and try to figure it out. So I just leave it there. That's in my backsliding days. I'm a family man now. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man. Like I said, it was a great game. It was a great experience. I wasn't even mad when the game was over with. You know what I mean? Like, we lost the game, but I was like, you know what? It was – I had a great time at the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, being able to see Zach and DeMar, you know, usually when you get a chance to go see your favorite team, somebody's hurt or, you know, whatever. You know, like, obviously, we got injuries, but the main guys played. So, that's all I really can act for, man. You know, it was a nasty finish, but at the same time, it is what it is. Basketball, it happens. It is what it is.
Yeah, man, I've seen the Bulls this year twice this year, and they were healthy both times. So I got lucky on that.
That's
one.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And, except for the second one. Vooch was out with COVID the first, in the second game. But I saw all of them in the first one against – I seen it against Utah and in Chicago and against the Clippers here. Okay. But let's get into it, man. I want to talk about how I was watching the game. People going to laugh at this shit. I was watching that Hawks collapse with the one and only Reggie Miller. I was at the
No. Oh no.
I gotta let that
this
on y'all.
This nigga thought we was about to just gloss over you was watching the game with Reggie. We're not about to do that.
I was watching the game with Reggie fucking Miller. Yes, we I was.
Y'all hear this nigga? This nigga made it seem like he was about to say, I was watching the game.
One of the homies.
Yeah, I was watching the game. You know, my man from elementary school put it. Nigga, you talking about Reggie Miller, nigga? What?
Reggie Miller, top 75, man. Yeah, I was I was at Staples, well, the Crip, whatever we want to call it, Lakers Clippers, and I'm sitting there eating because you know in the Clippers media room they got like five TVs. It's always like games on before the game starts. So I'm watching. I'm eating. I see a tall motherfucker walk past. I'm like, that Reggie? So Reggie get his food. He come about where we at, and he just talking, he cool, and he just sitting there. We watching the whole fourth quarter. Now, shit you not, it was like one play. It was like a minute and a half left. DeMar going like 1-on-5. He missed the fuck out of it. This nigga Reggie look at the screen, just shook his head and walked off. Mm-hmm. I was like, Reggie, that's how I feel too. That's exactly how I feel
too. You goddamn right.
Too much goddamn hero ball, man. Yeah. So I had to hit y'all with the pass.
Was he cool? Was Reggie Miller cool in person?
Reggie was cool.
Let me ask you this. Because Reggie Miller catch a lot of flack on Twitter, like from him calling the games and just whatever, right? Did he do anything to change? Not saying your opinion was like whatever on him, but like, did he do anything to where you was like, I think he's got to take it easy on Reggie?
Nah. I didn't really get like a chance to like talk to him.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We was chilling watching the game. Cause what I try to do when I'm there, like I always act like you've been there. Like, you know, I didn't want to tell him that he's the reason that I'm emotionally invested in sports because he pushed Michael Jordan. That's what I wanted to tell him that. And so, like, I was also eating at the same time. So he was just sitting there eating, we all watching the game. But he was talking. We talked to everybody. So it's like, even when I was watching Winning Time, they made Jerry West out to be a dick. I'm like, Jerry West say hi to me every time this nigga comes in the fucking meeting room.
That fucking Winning Time episode one.
It's awesome.
Oh, my God. Nigga, Jerry. Awesome. Oh, my God. Him on the golf course. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So it was like, so he was cool though. Like, it didn't like change my opinion on, but it was one of those.
Okay.
It was a wild day at Staples Center that day because I literally was like, okay, Reggie Miller's having dinner with us. Couple minutes for the game, I finally actually got to talk to Stephen A. Smith this time. Like the first time I saw him, I had a legit convo with Stephen A. Like thanked him, like, yo, I got this Barber's Chat Network. You know, y'all, you want an inspiration? He told me, like, you know, hear one of your idols say, yo, keep it up. It's glad that you here right now at this point in your career already. Was super dope moment. He gave me one of them old nigga handshakes.
You know
what it is? Shake your hand with two hands.
I was about to say, shake your hand and then grab it and let you know, like, hey, man. Young
he
brother,
called, he called me young brother. Brother like three times.
See, listen, when you come from a certain environment, you know, I didn't even know you was about to say that. And I'm saying, nigga say young brother. When he said young brother, that shit is endearing.
And then a couple seconds after I talked to Stephen A. Now, here's the thing. When you go on the court, so on our media passes, if it says photo Wells, that means you can be courtside 15 minutes before the game. So you can stand on it as long as you want until it's time for the national anthem. So I do this every game. Mm-hmm. Every game. I'm getting ready to walk on the court. Security looked at me like, are you photo Wells? I'm like, nigga, look at the fucking shit. Y'all supposed to be here. Like, y'all acting extra because
you know who I am.
Right. I'm like, y'all acting extra because I'm like, nigga, you just not see me talking to Stephen A? So I had to grab one of the older security guard niggas who see me all the time. I'm like, look, tell him now I'm here every day. He said, no, he good. He here every
day. I'm somebody, nigga.
Yeah, like the fuck out of here. And then I was face to face with my sworn enemy, LeBron Raymond James. He came out late. I was like, this nigga ducking me again. Because I'm watching Melo workouts. Here come LeBron.
And he popped up.
Here come LeBron. So, you know, it was cool.
What if LeBron was like, they go that nigga Scott, man? Like, what if he know? Like,
well, if he did, it didn't work. They got their ass whooped by 30. I seen people, niggas tweeted me that quote he said in the shop. I always find a LeBron hater in the crowd. That motivates me. And one of the homegirls like, did he find you? I'm like, if he did, if he saw me, if he knew it was me, it didn't work. Niggas lost by 30.
Maybe he just stopped looking for LeBron haters.
All right. So, but that's my story about that game, man. But let's get to some good news. We have a little bit of good news here.
Yes.
Alex, my favorite white boy Caruso, has finally been cleared for contact. He is practicing with the team. Now, Billy said he still doesn't know what day he's going to play. But when you clear for contact, that means within a week, probably to 10 days, I expect him to be playing next week, and especially after Stacey King's tweet about he tweeted today, like, something, give me the cookies. You know the cookie shit that he be saying when niggas steal the ball?
Yeah,
he tweeted a picture of Caruso. So, obviously, he knows something. I just want to let you all, I'm going to give you a little insider thing right here. People in the organization know when players are coming back before the media knows.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to let y'all know right now on a non-Bulls related note, if you gamble, circle next week on the account. Do not be shocked if Paul George is in uniform next week. You heard it here first from Hood Woj. That's all I'm going to say. Do not be shocked if Paul George is in uniform next week. But Alex Caruso's here. He's getting ready to play. Pat Williams was cleared for minimal contact. Now, I'm going to tell you why this is good, too. He's cleared for two-on-two. He's been doing two-on-two practice. So, they said Lonzo is still a little slower. He's still not doing lateral running yet. So, from what I took from this, Caruso will be back next week. Pat probably be back the week after that. And I think Lonzo's probably first week of April, from what I'm judging. What's your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, I think as this news starts to like trickle down to us, and you know, we start to get like a bit of a glimmer of hope, you know what I mean, if you will. I just want to see the team at full strength. I think we've maintained the same position for, you know, the last, you know, couple months, really. You know, I really just want to see them at full strength, because it's hard even for us to judge them, as talented as they are with the injuries. It's hard for us to really fully judge them as a full team when we haven't seen them at full strength. So, you know, I'm happy. I'm definitely happy. I'm optimistic that by the time, you know, let's say, like, we're looking at the schedule, in my head, I had March 28th circle where we would be like, you know, maybe Pat would be playing Caruso and Lonzo.
Yeah.
I don't know if, you know, if Zoe, if they want to just wait until, like, the playoffs or, like, right before the playoffs.
28th is probably where we'll have both Pat and
Caruso. In my head, March 28th is the date, you know, and again, like, I don't know.
The Bulls got a four-game home stretch to start April against Miami, Milwaukee, Boston, Charlotte. That's a hard-ass home stretch. I think he comes back in them four.
Yeah, you know what? And if he comes back in those four, I can see us being at minimum 2-2, only because, like, the Bucks are the Bucks, and you don't know what you're going to get from the Celtics. I think that we can beat that Heat team. I think we can beat that Hornets team. None of these games are gimmies because, as we saw, we predicted that the Hawks game would be a dub, and, you know,
Detroit game, which we
what do you know? Yeah, you don't even get me started on that.
I just want to say, Cade, that man, all y'all talk shit about Cade in the first half. Y'all stupid, man.
Cade is that nigga. And I always say this, like, I love Cade Cunningham for, like, the city, right? Like, I'm a Detroit nigga at heart, I'm not a Pistons nigga. I'm a Detroit nigga.
Wait,
I'm
Detroit born raised nigga.
Yeah, I'm a Detroit nigga through and through. So, I love Cade Cunningham for that team, for the city, all of it. Like, aesthetically, it just works all around. And he's a great player. Like, he's a dog, but he doesn't mind getting dirty as well. Like, he knows he's nice, but he's going to go out there and get his hands dirty too. So, shout out to Cade Cunningham, always. But
shout out to Cade.
But, you know, but again, like, about this news with Pat, I think Pat is the one that I'm the most happy to see making strides in the right direction to come back, because he hasn't had a full shot at, like, a healthy career up to this point. So, we don't really know what he can be. It's still a lot of potential, still, like, a lot of optimism, glass half full kind of thing. So I'm more excited for that. Caruso, we already know we're gonna get from him, so I'm just excited on that level. But Pat, he's gonna surprise a lot of people, and I think that when teams start the game plan for us, they can't really figure out how to game plan for Pat because they don't really know. But we know. I think the coaching staff, the players know what he can do. So I'm definitely excited to get Pat back, man. I just want to see his healthy. That's all.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I'm excited for both. I'm more excited for Caruso because we know we get him in Caruso. Just we know how the defense, and defense is the biggest issue on this team. That hopefully will make the offense better. We won't have to worry about you know, Zach and DeMar going 1-on-5 as much as they do.
Yep.
So from that perspective, I'm excited about that. But I'm excited about Pat too, because it's like I said, we don't know what he is yet. And that was one of the main things I kept talking about the trade deadline. We don't know what kind of guy he is yet.
Right.
And we need to really see. And I just want to know, what can he bring to the team this year? If anything, if he can defend and rebound, that will help us tremendously. I said a while back that I have him start. I think I'm changing my mind. I probably will still start Javonte until like he's ready. Maybe have him come off the bench first, might help him to get his feet wet. Mm-hmm. But I'm just happy that the Calvary's coming back. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and with 100%. Lonzo, it's a knee. You don't want to rush anything knee injury wise.
At all.
You know what I'm saying?
All it takes is for him to come around a pick and roll the wrong way and he back out probably for the rest of the, you know what I mean? Like you really don't want to chance that kind of shit. So I'm cool with him being patient.
Yeah, you don't want to chance that, you know, he's gotten hurt before. And so you just want to really just get him as ready as possible for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the same time, you don't want him being rusty or any type of way coming into the playoffs. So hopefully he gets that all together and he's ready to go. But the good thing is, you know, we only got a couple more games left. You know, we got 16 more games left. I think after
whew, shit, last man. Night.
Not a this lot. Not a lot. Lot.
Yeah.
And not a lot. So, and positioning, seeding is important right now. This would be perfect thing to get into. But seeding is important right now. And you need to worry about who you're fighting in the first round. We ain't got to worry about falling to the play-in. Bulls like 5 up on Toronto.
Yeah.
I think the goal should be stay out of that 6 seed. You do not want to face Milwaukee or Philly in that first round, because
you
that would be
sure don't want to face Philly.
Yeah, you realize I feel like Milwaukee match up way better with.
Yeah,
but even
Philly, we just can't figure them niggas out. We ain't
Philly
been so
a
long.
Bad
ago.
Matchup.
Yeah.
Even without Harden, it was a bad matchup. So you gotta stay out that third, out the 6 seed, go 4 or 5, and then try your luck with Boston. That's not gonna be an easy series either. But I'd rather try my luck with Boston than Milwaukee and Philly. But as far as, like, Patrick Williams, what are your expectations for Pat, like, as far as, like, for the rest of the season and in the playoffs?
Well, I think that Pat is – he was like, you know, highly touted, like, coming out of college as, like, a defender more than anything, right? Like, a defender, athletic guy. What I expect from him is to – I think he's smart enough to probably know, like, look, let me not try to do too much. Right, like, let me just fit in the flow. And if he can be our best defender, or like right there 1A, 1B with Caruso, then I think that he can kind of make his name on that. Just defend, worry about defending the offense to come to you. The guys are finding you in the flow of the offense. You don't gotta worry about trying to, you know, like even we talked about it early in the season, he was hesitant about his shots, but the team was feeding him, and it's like, nah, take those shots, you know, get your confidence up. I just expect him to just be great on-ball defender, you know, out rebounding, like doing all of the small shit like that so that the other guys can kind of, you know, worry about like more offense type of shit. I think that he'll get his points in the flow of the offense. He can be kind of like a, you know, I don't want to call him like a Tony Allen type of defender, because Tony Allen is that nigga's up there. You know what I'm saying? Like he one of them guys, you know, like all time. Kobe will tell you that nigga gave him problems. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I just think that if he can be our Tony Allen, if he can be a guy who, you know, when you go out there, like, damn, man, Pat is out there. Remember that the clip of LeBron looked back, he saw Kawhi checking in, he like, fuck. If he can have that effect on other players, then he's done his job, and I'm happy with that. So I expect him to just come in, defend, just kind of do all of the small things until he works himself back into being confident again. Because again, this is another blow, you know, probably to his confidence. He's a young guy. He's been hurt a couple times, you know, some crazy injuries. So if he can do the small thing, is get back into the rotation and, you know, make a difference on the court on the defensive side, I think the offense will come to him. So I'm just expecting him to just come out there and be a great defender. That's what I want, at least.
One thing I need from Pat, and this is what we were saying at the beginning of the season, not just, but especially now, I need him to be aggressive. I need him to be aggressive. No more of that passive shit where he likes to, like, you know, play the background. We need you to be aggressive, bro. Mm-hmm. If that's all you do for me is be aggressive, assert yourself, rebound, and defend, that's all you can give me for the rest of the season, mm-hmm. that is fine. And take this experience you have right now and bring it into next season. That's what I want them. Like, I know more about Ayo right now than I know about Pat. Pat's been here longer.
Yeah.
So I need to see that aggression, because when the playoffs come, we can't afford you just sitting in the corner, man.
We need you to
do something. So that's
waiting around.
Yeah, just be aggressive. Like, even if the shots aren't falling, shoot. Mm-hmm. Shoot. Rebound. You have to be a presence. Because I think people keep forgetting. We keep thinking about this window. Yes, this window is focused on DeMar and Zach. But Pat might be the best player out of everybody if he pans out right. We still don't know what we got in Pat. So I don't want people to – I don't think expectations should be heavy from this you know, last end of season going into playoffs. But I need him to be aggressive. That's all I need from him. That's all I expect. So
yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So let's talk about the actual games, man. So the Bulls finally snap a long two-week, five-game losing streak. These motherfuckers have won one game after the break since before this one. They get a very close victory in Detroit last night, a game that they were playing like shit also. They were letting Detroit all in the fucking lane. Just bad fucking defense. This is a game that I felt like we were going to lose for sure. But then DeMar and Zach turned it up in the fourth quarter. Somebody tweeted me like, why you ain't tweet the Victory Cat video? I'm letting everybody know Victory Cat is on I shut the studio down. They don't get the Victory Cat till they went three in a row. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We got to protect the sanctity of the Victory Cat on the timeline.
Yeah. and that win was nasty.
It was a nasty
win because we went up, I want to say, 8 in the first quarter. I looked up, it was like 18-10.
Yeah.
And in my head, I was like, there's no reason why we shouldn't score like 38 points on them in the first quarter. There's nothing they can do with us. Like, talent-wise, scheme-wise, nothing. There's nothing they can do with us. I look up, and I'm like, okay, we're in a dogfight with the Pistons, which is like, okay, cool. They're a try-hard team. They have to go out there and give it all they got, you know, whatever. But they made us look like the try-hard team that we scraping for a W and, like, we need this W to, you know what I'm saying, to, like, save face.
To stay in the play-in.
Yeah, like, it was so nasty, man. Like, you know, and for all you my fellow bettors out there, they won by 6 points. The spread was 6.5. DeMar DeRozan missed a free throw down the stretch that would have, you know, got everybody paid. And it was the perfect ending to a game like that because it was so nasty. Of course, it would end like that. I didn't feel good after that. I didn't feel good.
Yeah, it wasn't a feel good though.
Yeah,
there was nothing to feel good about that shit.
It didn't feel good at all. It felt like when them niggas on Baby Boy, like when they knocked them, you know, the young niggas out, it was like, yeah, are you really gonna go home and feel like you got points off knocking some kids out? Like,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It was nasty, bro. Like, I didn't even, you know, I didn't even like want to text you and be like, yo, I felt like we lost. I walked away from that game feeling like we lost. Like, we should have smoked them.
It's like when people like, I take care of my kids. Like, nigga, you want a cookie?
Yeah, I took my kids to the zoo. Like,
you're supposed to do that shit.
Okay. Yeah,
good fucking kid, bro.
Good for you, guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, this was definitely they took their kids to the zoo game, for sure.
The thing that stood out to me most was, and it kind of, I liked it, but it pissed me off at the same time. Why is Tristan Thompson, a guy who's been here only 2 weeks, got more energy and feel like he cares more than the motherfuckers who've been here all year? Why is he got to be the one to wake y'all up?
I hate it.
And I didn't like that. And I thought it was also funny. If anybody from Chicago know that look Ayo gave and Trisha, it was a typical Chicago, man, shut your goofy ass up. But it was just like the fact that had to be said. And DeMarc was cussing niggas out during the Philly game. Remember, he yelling niggas on the side.
Absolutely.
And these are guys who done been there. These guys who done had the playoff experience. Like, why does it take that for you to understand that this is the type of the season when you got to turn this shit up?
It's too late, man. It's too late in the season for this type of shit to be happening. And that's the part where it made it nasty, because we talked about this the top of the year. We said, this is the point. After All-Star break is baby playoffs. Like, this is diet playoffs right here. You have to get into your sets and really figure out who you are.
Yep.
And if this is who we are, it goes back to the talk that we had on the spaces, a while back. Shout out to everybody that joined us on the Twitter spaces. We talked about this. You playing a team like Toronto, who are a much better team than the Pistons, you might have a hard out with them niggas, bro. Like, they're not going to just go away. They're not going to concede anything to you. They don't give a fuck about you. The Pistons don't either. But the fact that Toronto is more talented than the Pistons, and the Pistons made us work for everything we had, I don't want to watch a nasty series with us in Toronto. I don't.
It's not a team that I can look at right now where I feel like we'd have an easy time beating.
Nope.
Not one. And that's
the fucked up part. Overlooked a couple teams a couple times, and that's my mistake. Because I've looked at the teams and been like, oh, we got them. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
I still think the best matchup, and I don't know how that would happen unless we somehow got to the third seed, would be Cleveland. Just because they've got less playoff experience than we do.
Absolutely.
And so that probably be the only one, but
I think we'd expose them. I think we would probably,
especially without Jared Allen.
Absolutely, yeah.
Especially without Jared Allen.
That's
like,
going to be big.
So here's the question: when we look at all, let's take injuries to the side, because there's still problems with this team even when the guys come back. What are things that you're most concerned about heading into this playoffs? And let's just assume we're full strength.
Man, the tendencies and the habits. That's the thing I'm most concerned about, because I'm concerned that even when our guys come back, that our other players who've been, you know, like around during this stretch, we just revert back to those tendencies. We go down 8 points and they just kind of get back into that. Let me pull up a three. And then you go down and get a stop at the other end and you come back and feel like, let me take a three again. And you miss that three too. So now it's like you missed out on a couple points and then the other team scores and now you're down double digits. And, you know, so I'm only concerned about the habits and the tendencies, because all I've been preaching all year is habits and tendencies. All I want us to do is get consistent in that and like really have a true identity. Because I feel like we lost our identity somewhere along the way. And I get it, injuries happen and shit like that. I get it, but at the same time,
we ain't had the same intensity.
Yeah, we haven't gave a fuck. Like we have to give a fuck. So let me, if I could just sum it up with that, I want us to give a fuck. If we give a fuck, we can beat anybody. If we don't give a fuck, we're vulnerable to anybody. So it's like it's real feast or famine.
You would think after losing five in a row, only winning one game since All-Star, that you own a role against a team you just kicked their ass by 40 like a month ago.
Yeah.
And you come out like that.
Yeah.
Like they shouldn't have to do all that to win that fucking game. So it's
that
like
nasty.
The things that concern me, like you said, the attitude of this team. It's like, like they feel like they move like a team that's been there before, and which I do not like. And I said this about the White Sox in another sport. They were like, I remember Tim Anderson. Well, you know when the playoffs come and turn it up. Nigga, you ain't been to the playoffs. How the fuck you know to turn it up?
Yeah, nigga, you can't just be that, you know, audacious and like arrogant. You know, when the playoffs come, exactly. We just trip and shit. Nigga, no.
You can't do that. And especially now, you can't do that with any sport. And with basketball, you can't do that. So I don't like that feeling from them. I don't like, even when Caruso and them get back, rebounding has always been an issue with these niggas all fucking season. Keeping a lead, even when healthy, has been an issue all fucking season. But the number one thing outside of the injuries, and I've been having a long debate with one of my homies on Twitter, and he keeps acting like I'm ignoring this point, which I'm not. I said the number one point was the injuries. But this is the number two point. This team in a half-court offense scares me.
Oh, man.
Because sometimes DeMar likes to play hero ball. Sometimes Zach has Russell Westbrook beat basketball IQ. And if it's a physical big, Vooch wants no parts of it. That scares me.
Yeah, and that's what scared me about the Atlanta game too, because John Collins was on the sideline in a pair of some long ass Yeezys, like size 20 Yeezys.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, and Vooch just didn't want any parts of fucking who is their big even? Like, I don't even know.
Capella?
Yeah, Capella. And Capella wasn't like, come on, man, think Capella, like cut the fuck out. But DeMar came down, and I will say this, like the Hawks fans that I was sitting around, they were even like in awe at DeMar's like mid-range game. Yeah. But once DeMar started missing that shot late in the game, I was like, yeah, we're probably done. Like as soon as I saw him miss like two, I said, yeah, this game is probably over with. Like in my head, I'm like, yeah, it's probably over with. You know what I mean? Cause like you said, he'll come down, he'll do the like, I'll back you down into the like the free throw line, you know what I'm saying? Then turn around and spin and hit the shot. When he started missing that, it was like everybody else was lost. Everybody else was standing around. There was no urge, you know, no urgency for offensive rebounding, which I didn't like, you know, and, you know, I don't know, man. I just, like you said, half-court offense with this team is like...
Scares me. I do think it'll change a little bit when Zoe gets back. He's our point. He's a
playmaker, yeah, super playmaker, yeah.
And I think what we've seen since the All-Star break, Io's still a fucking rookie. Io's still a rookie. You know what I'm saying? Yep. So we have to keep that in mind. You can't be like, oh, we got Io in the playoffs. It's playoffs, man. I want to keep telling
you. Playoffs.
I want to keep telling in any sports. Playoffs are a different game. It's a different game, bro. And so, like, that's the thing that scares me the most about them. But
that's where legacies are made, bro. Like, you think these niggas will come out there and lay down for you because you a good story? No.
Exactly.
Nigga, no.
And this is, they have time to scout you. So all your weaknesses in the playoffs, you can get away with your weaknesses in regular season because niggas is in one game, out the next. So it's not like a whole bunch of scouting. Playoffs, niggas are game planning for you. Your weaknesses we put on display. And that's one of the things that I worry about with this basketball team. And I also worry about maybe we don't have enough time to get everybody integrated. Because just because they come back don't mean the Caruso is going to be the old Caruso. Look at Clay. Clay can't hit the side of a fucking rim right now.
I was about to say, bro, when he hits a shot, we celebrating now. Before, we used to just be like, oh, it's Clay. Clay being Clay.
Exactly. So
Clay hit a three. Now we like, yes, he's back. Like, finally.
Exactly. You can't expect Caruso to be just like he was. So, I mean, Pat ain't played since fucking Halloween, nigga. Like, so you're expecting a lot. So like, I do think that's going to help. Like I said, I'm not judging the teams that get healthy, but this team has other glaring holes that I feel like no matter what series, I think any series we're in, it's going to be at least six games.
Yeah, they started getting, you know what I think it is too, Scott? They started buying their own bullshit.
They got high on their own supply.
They started believing their own hype. And when they look at the standings and they see that they second or they first, and Zach saying shit like, yeah, we the best duo.
Which I'm glad I was not. I didn't like those comments, man.
I hated them. That's why I didn't tweet about them, because I was only going to say something disparaging, and those are my guys. So I held back and I said, you know what? I'm cool. I'm not going to say nothing about it, because I hate when you put that type of target on your back.
Best team in the league.
Yeah, because it's like when you lose, the graphic is going to get tweeted out every time.
Niggas. Sports Center, they're going to remind you. Unless you're the champion, you can't let that rock. Like, the Giannis can be like, yo, I feel like us, when we're healthy, we're the best team in the league. They got the crown right now. They can say that shit.
Yep, 100%. They can say what they want, even if they don't back it up. They already did it. So it's like they're supposed to talk like that. We haven't done anything. We've won a couple games. It's cute, but this is the NBA. Like, nobody – listen, these four words are my favorite four words in life. Nobody cares. Work harder.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm about to get that shit tatted.
Yeah.
Dead serious. Yeah. Like, that's it. That's really when niggas was trying to figure out the key to life and what life is about, that's it right there. Nobody cares, dog. Work harder. We don't care. Work harder, bro. We just like how we know that we're hurt, y'all know that we hurt. Work harder. Yep. That's it.
100%.
That's really it.
I agree. I just don't. And we said, like, around All-Star break, like, look, this stretch is going to tell us a lot. And I just have not liked the way this team has responded all fucking, you know, in the stretch run. Like, and when you're listening to this, it'd be tomorrow's game against Cleveland. You're at home. Probably, I think, the only home game you got all month, damn near.
Like, I was just about to say, you better make this one count.
Cleveland is without Jared Allen. Cleveland is out without Caris LeVert. I don't want to hear no excuses. And they've not been playing well lately. They on a little bad run, just like we are. You need to beat these motherfuckers. And then on Monday, I don't give a damn if we on the road. Sacramento is sorry. This is a team that was beating the Knicks by 20 and let the Knicks beat them by 20 in the same fucking game. Yeah. That team is weak as fuck.
And that's why style points matter in the NBA for certain teams. Like, I get it. A win is a win, blah, 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 cliche shit.
We needed it, 40 wins, cool.
Yeah, but, however, if you don't beat the teams by the margin that you're supposed to beat them by, we're going to raise the eyebrow. Like, we beat the Pistons by 6 points.
Six.
Fuck betting. We were supposed to smoke them by 25 points.
We were down by 10 in the second half.
Yeah, like, bro, late in the game, y'all had to make a miraculous run to beat the fucking Pistons. That's
an issue.
This is bad.
This is very, very bad. Yeah. This is bad, man. That's just how I feel about it, man. So it's like, I don't have too much more to say about these dudes right now. I'm kind of upset with them, but let's preview
the
next week of games, man.
I still love them though, but me too.
Let's just say we didn't do well in our predictions last week.
Hey, listen, I'm gonna tell you this.
My prophecy did not come true.
When I was at that game, enjoying all the free alcoholic beverages and the food and all of that, the first thing I thought about when we lost that game was, man, me and Scott lied, man.
We lied to the public.
We lied. Sorry, people. We lied.
We'll try to be more truthful this time. We'll try to be more truthful this time. So let's talk. Let's see what we got coming up.
We didn't preview Cleveland.
Yeah, let's preview Cleveland.
Yeah, we didn't preview Cleveland. And we have 1, 2, 3 home games in the month of March, which is nasty.
So this is our first Saturday to be the only home game for the next 2 weeks.
Oh, man. Fuck. Jesus. Yeah, this is tough, dog.
It's a tough game. I'm not going to give a score. I'm not even going to tell y'all who's going to win. The Bulls better win this fucking game. They better win the next fucking two.
You know
so
what?
So I'm gonna say they win.
What's the kid? He's like a famous, like, little social media kid, little white kid, was sitting on the couch doing this, like folding his arms or something. I want to say his name is like, I was about to say like Grayson or some shit like that. But you know, I'm gonna send you the picture of who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I want to know who this is.
Yeah, yeah, I'm gonna send you a picture.
Oh no, you're talking about our
Gavin. Son. His name is Gavin. Gavin. There you go, Gavin. Shout out to Black Gavin. Twitter, man. Son. Yeah, shout out to Gavin. Shout out to Gavin. Yes. That's my mood. I'm sitting on the couch like this with the same haircut that he had and the same pajamas he had on. And I'm sitting back saying, the Bulls better fucking win this
game. Don't ruin my Saturday night, man.
The Bulls better fucking win this game, guys. I'm gonna tell you that right now. Like Sky said, I am not going to give you a prediction. I'm going to give you a what the fuck better happen.
An ultimatum.
You better go out there. You better win that fuck. I'm going to start talking to you like a black parent and talk to you. You better go out there and win that fucking game.
I ain't going to tell you that shit no more.
Hey, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to look at you. You better win that fucking game. You know what I mean? And I'm going to smile at the people that's waving and shit. But they better win that fucking game, though. I'm going to tell you that right now.
We got to do like, remember, I don't know if you remember that scene, The Last Dance, when Mike, when Scotty was out, and Mike told him, we got to win this game. I ain't going to say that no more.
Yeah, no, that's it. And that's all he said. Like, I don't give a fuck how. I don't give a fuck who is the guy, whoever. We better win this fucking game. I'm tell you that right now. I ain't, like you said, I'm not giving no final score. I think me and you, we right here on
that. I think we doing this with the Sacramento game, too. Listen. Fucking win, man. This game, losing this game be more inexcusable than losing to Cleveland. This is the Sacramento Kings.
It's the Kings.
It's the fucking Kings. Beat these niggas, bro. And I want style points. I want impressive wins these next two nights. I want double-digit wins, bro. I'm sorry. Yes.
Is that too much to ask for? Like, can we blow some of these niggas out, dog? Like, please, can we do that? Because I want to look up and see the scores, like, 116-89. Like, we are capable of doing that. And I can turn the game off. Yes, I can turn the game off. I can go laugh and joke on Twitter and all this other shit, and I don't have to worry about, you know, typing up tweets that I'm going to end up deleting anyway and not tweeting it out. Like, I don't want to go through that. So, just win. That, you know what? That's our motto for the rest of the season, and that might have to be the name of the episode. Just win.
Do the Al Davis. Win. Just win, baby.
That's it.
Just the Al Davis. Just win, baby. That's definitely what I'm titling this. Just win.
Yeah.
Just win. And so the last game is next Wednesday in Utah. That's going to be a tough one. Utah's playing some good ball. Utah's not an easy place to play in. I'm going to say we go 2-1. I think that loss will be against – shit, we might lose 2 in a row, but we got Phoenix and Devin Booker is off the COVID list.
I ain't want to go that far, but damn, man, you might be right about that. Yeah, that Jazz game is tough because depending on which Jazz team you get, you can either get a close game or you can get
that. Definitely, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah, you can get a close game with the Jazz where it's like 103-101, or you can get a game where they look like they're going to the NBA finals. So it just depends. It's not about what Bulls team shows up. It's about what Jazz team shows up. So
and we beat them early this year at home. So yeah, I was at that game, and that was a nice little back and forth game. So I will.
If you ask me for like you said, a prediction and shit like that, I will concede that game. I'll say 2-1, and I'll say this.
But them two better be against some sorry ass niggas, man.
It better be at the minimum 2-1. Now, would I accept 3-0? Obviously.
I would love it.
Obviously.
I welcome it.
But it better be, we better finish this trip. And here's the thing. 2-1 no matter what. If we beat the Cavs, lose to the Kings, and then beat the Jazz, get a quality win on this trip. 2-1. That's all I'm accepting. That's all I'm accepting. I'm accepting nothing less than 2-1. I don't give a fuck what happened. Period.
I'm with you on that one, man. I think we gave the Bulls a nice lashing today. I think this is the first
super
positive podcast we've had. Yeah, they deserve it.
And that's the thing. But we still didn't go as off the cliff as I've seen Bulls fans go on the timeline, because I've seen a lot of Bulls fans on the timeline just like.
I've seen a Bulls fan on the timeline this week and started talking about the offseason. I'm like, nigga, get off the fucking ledge now, man.
Now, shit like that is, I wouldn't even engage with somebody like that. If you're already thinking about the offseason, you don't really like the Bulls or you don't really like basketball or something pathetic. Like that. I don't know what to tell you, bro. I really don't. I don't have any words for somebody that's looking at the offseason. Me, I'm looking at the playoffs.
I'm thinking about playoffs, man. And I'm going back home in May. I would like for you niggas to still be playing.
Yeah,
so
man.
I can go to the game.
Before the season end, I want to go up there for a game. I really do.
I will be in Chicago from May 6th to the 16th.
Yeah.
So hopefully they're in the second round.
I want to go up there and see them. Damn, dog, I don't know. Maybe like that Hornets game. Was that April 8th?
Yeah, that's
because I want to see Miles Bridges too. That's my dog. Shout out to Miles RTBMB. My bad. I didn't mean to say Miles Bridges. RTBMB. Best NBA rapper in the league right now. I don't give a fuck what you niggas say. Don't send me no clip of nobody. I ain't naming no names, but if the name ain't RTBMB, they ain't the best. So I think I'm gonna try to get up there for that game. I'm really gonna try to get up there for that game. I want to go to that. Yeah.
Definitely, man. That's all we've got for y'all today on the Third Pick Podcast. Hopefully, we're sitting here next week and we ain't gotta, you know, put these niggas in the corner.
Yeah. Hopefully, we can come back with smiles and sunshines and shit.
I'm gonna tell Bulls, but my mama used to tell me when I would get in trouble, this hurts me way more than it hurts you.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
So hopefully next week.
Listen, we're not mad. We're just disappointed.
We're not mad. We just disappointed.
That's all.
We're just disappointed, man. So as usual, you know to follow me on Twitter at BarbChairScott. Mariano, let them know they can follow you at.
Man, listen, on Instagram at Mariano Bivens. You know what I mean? Tap in. We got a lot of shit going on. On Twitter at Mariano 2Ns, 2Os. I just made my mind up. Y'all gotta holler at me next week because I'm mad about the Bulls. So no, she can't have it this week. Next week, yes, maybe. Maybe yes. If we 2-1, put it like this, if we 2-1 next week, I'll give you what you want. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. And you know to subscribe to the Patreon if you're watching this right now. Mariano with a nice do-rag on it.
Yeah, I was just about to say, dog, listen, if you paid the $5, you paid that bread.
You see the do-rag.
You see me with the do-rag on. You know. Listen, whenever you see me with the do-rag on, I'm in pod mode. I'm in creative mode. All that. You know what I'm saying? This is the mode that I'm in. Remember how Rip Hamilton had the mask on,
right?
And that nigga didn't miss a mid-range shot for like 3 years. Like, that's the mode that I'm in when I put the do-rag on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. So, you know, subscribe to the Patreon.
Pay that $5.
You want to see us, you know, patreon.com/barbershed network, man. And we dropped a lot of shit this week on Barbershed.
I'm about to listen to that 79th and Hallis pod, because
yeah,
even though I'm not
right
a Bears
now.
Fan, even though I'm not a Bears fan, I do enjoy y'all niggas talking about.
Hey, man, I appreciate it.
Because y'all actually know what y'all talking about, and because like it's entertaining, you don't actually have to be a Bears fan to enjoy. Yeah, you don't have to be a Bears fan to enjoy it because it's just real talk. Like, y'all not homers, y'all not just giving just some cookie cutter shit. So we got some real shit
on this episode, man. We got video for that. We got video of everything, man. So fuck everything we got coming, man. And yeah, man, we fuck with y'all, man. We'll be back next week, man. Third Pick Pod.
Yes, sir.